Isn't it good to know that that word will not return unto him void? It will accomplish that what he pleases, and it will prosper whereunto he sends it. Aren't you glad that he sent his word into your life? You know, Psalm 107 tells us that he sent his word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. You know, sometimes you just got to stop a minute and you got to receive what he sent to you. So I'm going to ask you this morning to put your catchers on. You know what your catchers are? Your ears. The ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, which is you and me, today. I believe that God has fresh manna for us this morning. I believe he wants to feed you so that you will be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your innermost being so that you can do the will of God tomorrow, next week, and throughout the rest of your lives. Aren't you glad that God's not empty, that he is full? Aren't you glad that he is still called the God of more than enough? Amen. Aren't you glad that he's for you and not against you? Aren't you glad that his blood still covers our lives, that you and I are totally forgiven and accepted in the beloved because of the blood of Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, that's awesome news to me. There was a day I didn't know that kind of information, but I'm thankful that he's enlightened my understanding and brought me out of darkness into light. Now, I know you guys were probably all perfect, but I wasn't, and I was pretty well entrenched in darkness. I think Pop and I can identify to some of these things. And God in his mercy and grace seen to it that the word of the Lord came to us. How many of you all understand that faith always comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? How many understand that, you know, unless someone is sent into our life to preach the gospel, that we're lost? Aren't you glad that when you hear the gospel of the goodness of God, of the mercy of God, of the faithfulness of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his very, very best just for you and me so that we could come into eternal life in Christ Jesus, that you and I could be born again, that you and I could understand that we believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you and I have come into a place such as this in the kingdom of God for such a time as this? Say, this is my time. This is my season to rise and to shine with the light and the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has anointed me for this day, for this hour. God has called me out of darkness into light for right now. This is my time to populate heaven and to plunder hell. I've been anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. God has anointed me to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to open up blind eyes. God has anointed me to do good works. Oh, I've been anointed to do good works. And there's plenty of them that need done. Can you say amen to that? I said there's plenty of them that need done. I got some good news for you here this morning, that there's what I call is the acceleration of time. You and I have entered into it. In other words, God's going to do a quick work in the earth, and he has chosen you. He didn't make a mistake by any one of us. He's got his hand upon your life. He has elevated you into a place of revelation like you've never been before. You've got more insight, more directives than you've ever known before. That God has infused into you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him. That you have had the opportunity. If you haven't taken the opportunity, woe unto you. But what I'm saying, as you take in the opportunity to continually stay underneath the spout where the glory of God falls out, can you say amen? It's being poured out each and every day. That he's pouring out fresh revelation, fresh strength into you, fresh grace, fresh equipping, that God is equipping you for this season, for this time, so that you could stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, so that you could know and without a shadow of a doubt that you're being filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you and I could walk worthy of the Lord and be fully pleasing unto all good works. In other words, what I want you to see is without faith it's impossible to do what? Aren't you glad you're not without faith? Aren't you glad you got the faith to move mountains? Well, there's a few of you in here that have the... I want you to understand you have great faith. This church is full of faith. If I've ever been in the church that had the entrance of His Word on a higher revelation, it's this house. In other words, to whom much is given, much will be required. Are you with me? I want you to understand, God wants to speak to you because He wants many of you, especially you young men and women in this house, that God's going to elevate you and put you into a place of great responsibility in the days that lie ahead. And I don't believe those days are far away. Why? Because the light and the glory of Jesus Christ is going to shine through the body of Jesus. I believe that what I seen years ago, that God was going to anoint, especially young people, and that doesn't take away from any of us that have gray hair. All right, now be with me, or maybe you don't have any hair. What I want you to understand is there is an anointing for the generation in which we are ushering into the presence of God. Thank God for this great school. I'm going to get excited whether you want to or not, all right? And the reason why is because we have been a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation that has the ability to show forth the praises of God in the midst of darkness that is going on all around us. Amen? So, as we know that, I believe it was in 2010, and what I seen was I seen the equipping of the saints on a younger generation that God was going to put supernatural in the spirit, supernatural running shoes upon them, and they were going to run faster, accomplish more in a less amount of time than any generation has ever done. Are you with me? So what I want you to see is our responsibility. I feel like my responsibility is to pour out every impartation that God has set in me in this hour. For my life to be an offering to pour out everything that He's dumped into me over the years. Because why? God wants to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry so we can get the job done. Because why? One day, and I don't know if I'll see it, but I can guarantee you there's probably folks in here that will. When that sky cracks, He's going to appear. The dead in Christ is going to rise. You and I are going to be elevated up and to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But I got some better news for you right now. We got to occupy till He comes. We got to take over and take charge till He comes. We got to do the work of the gospel till He comes. In other words, that's a responsibility on the body of Christ. Not just your pastor or your leaders. It's on every one of us. God wants to raise you up into a place of what I believe is greater influence than you've ever been before. Why? Because there's people out there that don't have what you have. There's people out there that don't have hope in the midst of darkness. There's people that don't know the truth. And Jesus said, when you know the truth will set you free. Aren't you glad that you know the truth and you've been free, that you're free of sin, guilt, shame, condemnation, and pain, that you're free of sickness, disease, and poverty, that God has set you free? What a resurrected Savior we serve. What a God that is more than enough. What a God of His exceedingly great and precious promises that by those you and I could be partakers of His divine inheritance. I don't know about you. I come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I believe you have too. And I believe that we, the body of Christ, have a race to run to hit a mark of the call of the high calling of God that is upon our lives in this generation. And we can work together. We can cooperate together. We can be unified together under the blood of Jesus Christ in the unity of the Spirit, in the bonds of love, in the bonds of peace. And as we do that, my brother and sister, the love of God will never fail because that love has been shed abroad in every one of your hearts by the Holy Ghost. In other words, what I want to get you to see is the love walk is going to be one of the most critical things in every one of our lives to accomplish that, what He has called us to do in the assignments and everything we do. See, if we step outside of love, then we step outside of the leadership and directions of the Holy Ghost. And God wants to show forth the manifestation of His sons in this day and this hour. Understand the world. The world is groaning for God's children, His sons and daughters, to come into a maturity level so that when you look at a believer, when I look at you, I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at the one who was, is, and is to come. I'm looking at the one who never changes. I'm looking at the same God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He did, He wants to do through you. Can you shout amen in this house? Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to be with you. Maybe you're saying, This is Father's Day, and I want to tell you, handsome gentlemen, and then guys like me, happy Father's Day. Amen. Under in other words, you're blessed and highly favored of the Lord. And I extend my celebration with you as we celebrate fathers on this great day, that we have a privilege to do that. But I want to celebrate the Father who's the Father of us all. How about you? I want you to understand that Jesus did what the Father showed him, what he revealed to him. And I'm here to tell you today that there are going to be revelations on a higher order with a deeper flow that are going to be poured out upon this generation, upon this house, and I believe upon the body of Christ. And what I want you to understand is, in order to receive that, you've got to have your ears on, you've got to have your heart right all the time. Because in given moments of time, you're going to understand that things are going to open up. You're going to understand what I refer to as an open heaven. And all of a sudden, you're going to know things that you didn't know before. See, the spirit of seeing and knowing is readily available because that's part of what the Holy Spirit does to you and me. He wants to reveal truth to you. He wants to reveal secret things to you. He wants to reveal the what I believe are the orders from headquarters. Does that make sense to you? In other words, when you get the divine orders, what happens to you and me is our faith increases because we've heard the word of the Lord. And when we've heard the word of the Lord, we're responsible not to just be hearers of what we're hearing, but actually doers. In other words, to carry out the assignments of this season in our lives. I believe that there's no exceptions here. I believe that that includes every one of us. Because why? You were uniquely made by the King himself. In other words, your personality, your blood type, everything about you was in the hands of the King, and he didn't make any junk. Aren't you glad? And you are not you're not too early, you're not too late. Because why? You're here at your age, in your situation, such as a time as this. But that doesn't mean your situation has to stay the way it is. Aren't you glad that faith can move mountains? Aren't you glad that faith still works? Aren't you glad that you and I have faith? Aren't you glad when Jesus said, have faith in God? Where's my faith base? In God. And then he told you and me, after he cursed the fig tree and his disciples come back up there in Mark 11, he told the boys, he says, you know, the fig tree's all dried up. And he looked at him, he said, now have the faith of God. And you and I know, because you're in a good church, is the reason why the faith of God, in going back to Genesis, and God said. Well, what God said, it happened. Can you say amen to that? So, in understanding that word went forth, it didn't return void, but it accomplished that what God said. Then he told you, because God said through the lips of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in other words, he said, whosoever will say unto the mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and not doubt it, where? In his heart, but believe those things which he saith. Say, he saith, that he saith would be me saith. Come on now. That he saith would be me saith. All right, can I help you out with King James English? That's all I know right now. All right, so what I want you to understand is God wants to use your mouth. The devil's been using them enough. I know that's nobody here. I'm probably in the wrong church this morning. I pulled into the wrong parking lot, right? But what I'm saying is we've got to guard what we say right now. Understand, the power of life and death is right here. You can curse or you can bless. And I believe you're blessed to be a blessing. And the way you bless is with this. You bless, you release your faith into that given circumstance. In other words, as far as I'm concerned, you have the ability to curse sickness and disease and poverty and lack. You can call it dead in the name of Jesus, because you and I are redeemed from the curse of the law. For sickness, he's given us health, and for poverty, he's given us wealth, and for death, he's given us eternal life. That's the promises of God, and they're yes and amen as far as I'm concerned. How about you? In other words, I don't want you to bow your knee to the devil's lies, his deception, the emotions that your emotions will be affected in the circumstances of life, what your life is going through. I want you to know those things are subject to change because you're here and you have faith to do something about it, to say unto that mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea. Don't doubt it in your heart, but believe what you're saying, and you shall have what you say, my brother and sister. Then when you say, and when you pray, when you believe that you receive, you can have. Can you shout amen in this house? I know you understand faith. And right now, God has spoken to this house, and I'm going to read to you what he spoke to you. Because some of you might have forgot it. On 9/26, I came to this great house. Your pastor had asked me if I would minister. I said I would be so delighted. And minding my own business, that's usually when the Lord erupts me and gives me something for bodies such as this or for maybe an individual. But I wrote it down. I usually don't. I usually just yield to the inspiration that's going on. But in certain cases, I wrote it down, and I've seen why. I trust this will encourage you in this new season of time, Abundant Life Christian Centers. I see new openings and areas of development in this house. Expand, expand, expand. So much more to be done within and beyond. How can it be done? I know that you all know this, all right? But there is so much more to be discovered by you with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in your walk of faith for this season. And then I went in through scripture, and basically the scriptures, a whole list of them, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, Hebrews 10:35, and then again in Galatians 2:19-20, and basically to summarize all that, because I don't want to preach what I preached then, but what I want you to understand, it says the just shall live by faith. God spoke to me, and he said, know the key, remind them of the key, that for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what? Love. So in other words, your love walk, my love walk, our love walk in the body of Christ is very critical. How many of you have had opportunity to step out of love just recently? I'm probably the only one here that goes through stuff like that. You know, and I have to make a check, because why? I'm going to yield to love. You understand me? I'm going to yield. I'm going to forgive you. I'm not going to get offended. This is not a time to live in offense. God needs you. He needs your faith. He needs your faith in operation. He needs you to be right in the right place at the right time, in the right spirit, in the right mind, and that's the mind of Christ, doing that what he has called you to do. Amen. This ain't a time to play church. This is a time to be the church. And then in this, he said, faith which worketh by love, and that was one of the main keys he gave me. And then he took me on into what I will say this, if I can rehearse that to you. Psalm 92. I'm going to read that to you out of the Amplified Bible. Verse 12, it says, the uncompromising righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, now some of you can relate to this one, all right? Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall, I said some of you, not all of you, I understand that. They shall be full of sap, spiritual energy, all right, and rich to trust God, to love, and in their commitment. That was a word, and there was much more than that, but I want to encourage you that God showed me you're going to have opportunities to rise up in a greater level of faith than you ever have before. I believe you're in one of those opportunities right now. I am in the right church. That's correct. So I want to speak to you this morning with what the Lord give me for you today, because this is such a unique time in history that God has chosen us to be in. In 2 Samuel, you can go there. I know that you guys are more studious when it comes to the Old Testament than I am. I'm pretty much I pretty much hang out in the New Testament. But I enjoy the Old Testament, and I know I need to probably dig deeper and deeper. But there was three gentlemen that David had in his army, and these guys were the special three, okay? Now, he had many, and what I'm saying is they were all important, and they all accomplished great things. But do you understand, when he gathered his army, basically, his army was a bunch of people that didn't have it all together. Now, I know you all do, but when I came in to the kingdom of God, I didn't have it all together. So I've had to rely on him to get me together. So I see a few smiles here. So anyhow, in 2 Samuel 23, verse 11, one of these boys' name was Shammah. Shammah, in verse 11, it says, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop. And there was a piece of ground full of lentils." Some versions, if you'll seek that out, it says barley. I'll call it a pea patch. "And the people fled from the Philistines." Now here, this guy is with the people of God, and all of a sudden, everybody leaves him, and he's standing there in the pea patch all by himself. Now, I know you've never been there. Do you ever feel like you're fighting some of your battles all alone? I know Miss Donna isn't. Did you hear me? And you aren't either. So what I'm trying to say is this guy had things stacked against him. Because why? He wasn't a new covenant man like you and I. He didn't have the privileges of the abiding Christ within him. He was an old covenant believer. So in seeing this, what he accomplished, though, it says, "And the people fled from the Philistines." In other words, they left from the enemy in the attack of the enemy. It says, "And he stood in the midst of his ground and defended it." Church, I'm telling you right now, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of us in the body of Christ, I believe this is a word for all of us in this season that we're in right now, throughout the world, throughout the things that are going on, the chaos, just everything, the wars, the rumors of wars, and the things that are happening all around us, and the attack and the assignments of the devil to take some of God's generals out and some of God's people out in this day and this hour is horrific. And what I mean by that is we've got to stop it in the name of Jesus. We've got to come up into a place of intimacy, of intercession, and join in with faith and start declaring and decreeing what God's going to do instead of talking about and worrying about and complaining about what the enemy is doing. I want you to know God's for us. He's not against us. I want you to know I've read the end of the book and we win, church. Can you say amen? We're not a defeated foe. We're not has-beens. We're the body of Christ. And God Almighty said, "I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell, the powers of hell, are not going to prevail against it." How's it built? It's built by revelational knowledge. It's built by the revealed knowledge of God by the Holy Ghost in your life and my life. And there in Caesarea Philippi, when the boys were asking, you know, "Who do you guys say I am?" And then that one little rascal, I believe there's some little rascals in here, and his name was Peter, and he said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "You know what, son?" He says, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell I said the gates of hell, they're not going to prevail against the church that he's building by revelation. My brother and sister, you got deep revelation that you're carrying as a church. And that unity of the Spirit and the bonds of peace belong in this house. And I want to call you into a place of peace that passes understanding in the midst of your battle. Are you okay with that? That's where we go this morning. So, Shammah stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. Now, I'm talking about the enemy right now. I'm talking about the devil, the one who comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. He says, he slew them, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Who brought the victory? The Lord did, all right? God used the vessel. He used Shammah, but the same way he'll use you and me. But we give him all the praise. We give him all the honor. We give him all the glory. You understand? It's not for you and me to take the glory. It's up to giving it back to him, who the one who equipped us, the one who anointed us, the one who called us, the one whose hand is upon us, the one who gave us of his precious Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised him up from the dead. I'm telling you what, you're not without power. You got great, tremendous power. And your power is in agreement with God, in agreement with the Word, and using the vehicle that he's given you. And that's your voice. Your voice is critical in this day and this hour. What are you saying? And what will you say? Because why? Guard that mouth of yours. Guard that mouth of yours. If you got to put duct tape on those lips of yours, do so if it takes time. Because Jesus said it this way, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And when we're under pressure, we kind of come to the conclusion, that's what's in my heart. And sometimes if you don't like what's in your heart, get the duct tape out. Do you understand me? And fill it back up with the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Can you shout amen? In this house. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. Shammah won his battle. God wrought the victory, and God wants to bring the victory for you. He was standing his ground, and the only ground that I know that I want to encourage you to stand in is that solid rock on which we stand. Amen. Not sinking sand in this day and this hour. Understand that we stand, our lives, our faith, our foundation, every fiber of our being upon the rock in which we stand, the rock of Jesus Christ. He is Lord. Amen. So in Isaiah 26, verse 1, it says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Verse 3 is what I want you to fix your eyes on, if you would. Thou wilt keep him in perfect, what kind of peace? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now understand, where you fix your mind is up to you. And I'm here to point you, start fixing your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Word of God, on the promises of God. Fix your mind on, you know what, I'm going to follow him no matter what anybody else is going to do. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord no matter what anyone else is doing. In other words, there's lots of opinions out there. There's lots of feelings going on. There's lots of emotions. But whose report will you believe? Will you be one of the two or will you be one of the ten? In other words, well, I want to give the good report, and the good report is we are well able to take the land. We're well able to subdue the devil. We're well able to get the victory. My brother and sister, you're well able to get the victory in this house and accomplish the will and call and purposes of God. But we've got to come into unity and harmony on what God is saying through his word. Can you shout amen? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Do you trust the Lord? Amen. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amplified says this, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclinations and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. The Message translation says, people with their minds set on you will keep completely whole, steady on their feet, because they keep at it and don't quit. Can you say amen? Say, don't quit. depend on God and depend on God and keep at it, because in the Lord God you have a sure thing. Tell your neighbor, I got a hold of the sure thing. Amen. Romans chapter 8:6. I know you all have that memorized. I'll just read it to you. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want to ask you a question. Do you know where your major battle is? It's right between your ears, right? The biggest battle of my life is right there. I don't have to look very far. I look in the mirror, and I see those big ears of mine, and I'm saying, right there, right between those two rascals, that's where my battle is. Because why? My soul, my mind, my will, and emotions will try to war against my spirit the same way with you. And understand, my spirit is in total unity and harmony with God and His Word and by His Spirit. But my soul sometimes will give me a rascal. He'll try to reason it out. He'll try to figure it out. And the enemy will throw darts at it. And the next thing you know, I'm picking up some of those darts. And next thing I know, I'm speaking out doubt and unbelief. I don't know about you. I know you probably never made mistakes like that, but I've got to watch it. Because why? Those fiery darts are coming at us all the time. You and I can enter into worry instead of faith. You and I can start complaining just a drop of a hat. Are you okay? I just want to be real with you, because why? God's elevating this house into a place of victory in faith that maybe they've never been to that degree. Because of the responsibility, the call, the anointing, and the revelation that you're carrying as a fellowship. And I guarantee you, to whom much is given, much is required. And you're in a battle. We are in the United States of America in a battle right now. You understand that. And you don't have to go very far to hear about the war and about everything that's going on. Well, guess what? There's some of your brothers and sisters that are being taken out right now. And this is not making me happy. Amen? So I got to understand, I have a responsibility. Maybe I can't go and join and put armor on. That's not the call of God on my life. Thank God for our soldiers. But I guarantee you, I can enter into the Spirit, and you can too. And we can be fully equipped in the whole armor of God, every one of us. And you and I know how to pray. We know how to intercede. We know how to declare and decree. You and I understand the authority that's been given to us in the name of Jesus. You and I understand what we are carrying as the body of Christ. But if we don't use what I believe are the weapons that He's given us, then we are not joining into the battle that is raging. I want to include you, every one of you in this house. I know most of you are, but I want to engage all of you. I need you, my brother and sister. The body of Christ needs you, my brother and sister. They don't need you wandering around trying to figure it out. No, just join in. Give them all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Can you say amen? In other words, let's say, God, I'm done doing my deal. I want to do your deal from here on out, because your deal is what will accomplish what needs to be done. And what I'm talking about deal, I'm talking about the will of God. Too many of God's people are outside of the will of God right now, and I'm here to recruit them back in. You understand me? Don't get all full of guilt or shame, and don't be beating yourself up, but just understand there's the principles of saying, God, I repent in the name of Jesus Christ. I've done my thing. I've entered into worry. I've entered into concern. I've allowed it to consume me, but I'm coming back to you, and I'm going to trust you with every fiber of my being. I'm going to start casting my cares upon the Lord, for He cares for me. I'm going to come in back in agreement with the Word of God and actually do the Word of God, because my days of being self-deceived are over. How about you? Philippians chapter 4. You know, when I know the level of word that is taught, it's hard as a preacher sometimes to come into a house like this and have to fight. They know this. Okay? Everything that I'm saying, you know. I know you do. But sometimes, in raising my son and my daughter, there was times I'd have to remind them of what I knew they knew. Is that right, Katie? Yeah. They need a little touch from dad or mom and remind them. Because why? Maybe they weren't doing what they knew to do. The Bible says is when we know to do good and we don't do it, can I use that word here? It's called sin. Well, I don't know about you. This ain't a time to be entertaining sin in any one of our lives. Amen? So, as I look at Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. I wanted to see if you were awake, all right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious. King James, I believe, says, don't be full of care. Okay? So, be anxious for nothing. Say nothing. But in everything, by what? Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace. Say the peace. See, it's the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And the key is, I want your minds to come into a place of peace, understanding that your heart is settled in the peace of God. Because when you invited the king in, he brought the kingdom with him. And the kingdom is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's in you. So join the peace in your heart because your God has given you peace. And join that peace with your soul, with your mind, your will, your emotions. In other words, I'm going to bring my emotions into the peace of God. I'm going to bring my thinking into the mind of Christ, into the peace of God. I'm going to bring my will into the peace that passes understanding. Why? Because in that place of peace, in that place of rest, I can hear the Lord. But if I'm anxious, if I'm full of care, if I'm worried out to beyond any belief, in other words, if I'm not in rest, then basically I have the ability to miss it, and you do too. And I don't want you to miss it. I don't want any one of you to miss it. And I know Jesus Christ doesn't either because he paid a price for you and I to succeed. He paid a price for you and I to prosper, to be in health as our souls are prospering. Amen? So as I look at this, he says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And he says, finally, brethren, in other words, in conclusion too, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things or think on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Say these do. And the peace of God will be with you. Now, here is a warning. I believe this is a warning to this nation. I also believe that maybe some of us, if we're not in that place, I'm not being here condemning or critical, but I'm saying sometimes we've got to make adjustments and listen to what's the word really saying to us. And in this warning is in Isaiah 48, verse 16, if you'd like to go there. It says, come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, I was there, and now the Lord God and His Spirit have sent me. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, which teaches you to profit. Ha! That's right. To gain profit, to benefit, or to avail. It says, who leads you by the way you should go. Do you know there's a way that God made for you, and you need to be in that way instead of in the way? Amen? In other words, there's footsteps that are already ordered for all of us, and then there's footsteps that are ordered for a great church like this, and we got to get in sync and get in step and make certain we're walking in the fullness that God has for us. Is this the right message for this house? All right. I believe it is. Oh, that you had heeded my commands. Then, in other words, if we pay attention to what he is speaking, the promise is, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. In other words, if you don't, then it won't. Does that register to you? I like the Amplified. It says, oh, that you had hearkened to my commands, then your peace and prosperity would have been like a flowing river, your righteousness, the holiness and purity of the nation, like the abundant waves of the sea. The New Living Translation says, oh, that you had listened to my commands, then you would have had peace flowing like a gentle river and righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea. This is a modern translation. I know you guys probably don't use them, but I'm just going to read it to you anyhow because I'm up here. If only you had listened to my commands, I like this church. This belongs to you. Then blessings would have flowed for you like a stream that never goes dry. Victory would have come to you like the waves that roll on the shore. Now, these promises that I'm going to go into belong to you. Because in the midst of your battle, and the battles that are raging us as the body of Christ right now, we've got to learn how to maintain peace here with the Lord, peace and harmony with each other, and understand when we have peace in here, no matter what's going on out there, we can take the upper hand. We can win these fights. Are you okay with that? Do you like to win? All you people that like to lose, we're going to have an altar call for you. We're going to pray for you, all right? Because God's going to adjust you here today, all right? And I know that's nobody here, all right? So what I'm saying is, you know, you and I were born to win, not lose. Amen. You and I were born to dominate or to take control and populate what I believe is heaven by plundering hell. You and I have been given authority to walk in victory. Thanks be unto God who always, not sometimes, always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. In 1 John 5 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our what? In other words, you and I have faith because we've received the Word of God. Faith come to us by hearing that precious that Word. And I guarantee you there's greater faith coming to you because some of you are going to tune in with your ears and start hearing what the Spirit is saying with a now word. And I believe when you get a now word from God, it goes from mental ascension into heart revelation and you come into the grace that you need to run your race to hit the mark of the call that is upon your life as individuals, as men and women of God in this day and this hour. Because why? The world is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Are you with me? In other words, the mature ones, the ones that will be led by the Spirit of God, not controlled and manipulated by everything else that is going around them, but be absolute under control of the Holy Ghost. In other words, that you are the voice of the Lord to this generation. You are the hands of God to this generation. You are the one who is meant to rule and reign in this life and to go and to show forth and declare the mighty works of God to a generation that seems like they're going to hell in a handbasket. But I want you to know God loves them and He wants to rescued, and you've got the anointing to do so, every one of us, amen? So we've got to join in harmony with the will and call of God upon us and understand that this gospel's got to go forth to all nations. The end is not coming until we've done it. In other words, God's waiting on us to get the job done, and there's still a great suggestion to the body of Christ. That suggestion come forth in a commandment. In other words, it wasn't a suggestion. It's, in other words, go into all the world world and preach the gospel. Can you say amen? And I know that's what your pastor's all about. I know that that's what this house is all about. I can guarantee you there's a Bible school student that just graduated, and I'm so proud of him. In other words, that's what he's all about, whether he understands it right now, but that's what he's made for. Can you say amen? In other words, God's going to use him in a mighty way, but he's not the only one in here. I believe that's all of us in our part of grace, in our part of the function in which he's anointed us to do. In other words, I don't have to do what you're called to do. I need to do what I'm called to do, and together we can get her done. Amen? So, I need to go on because I know we're out of time, I see. Can I have a few more minutes? You're probably used to those preachers that want to raise a hand and they go 5, 10. I won't mention Dale's name, but anyhow, could I have a little bit of mercy? I know it's Father's Day and you've probably got this wonderful, most precious meal waiting for you somewhere, and I celebrate with you. But let me go quickly. I felt like this promise was for you. Psalm 48:8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Please take that scripture to heart. I believe it's for many of you here. Amplified says, in peace I will both lay down and sleep, for you, Lord, alone make me dwell in safety and confident trust. And another scripture the Lord gave me to give you was Isaiah 54:13. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. Shane, you and the teachers and those in that school, this is for you. But it's for everyone, okay? But if nobody else takes a hold of it, please, you guys take a hold of it. Not only for your family, but for those in which God's entrusted you with to bring the impartations and the education and to raise them up in the abilities that God's given you. And all your spiritual children shall be disciples, taught by the Lord and obedient to his will. And great shall be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children. Now remember, peace is the opposite of disorder and confusion. I said peace is the opposite of disorder and confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace as it is in all the churches. In other words, God, he is not a God of confusion and disorder. He's a God of peace and order. Now, where's he live? He lives inside of us. I'll close here with this scripture. I believe this is going to be most critical. And I speak that to every one of us. You understand me? What I'm sharing with you is just as much for me. Are you with me? I have the ability to get information, and sometimes that information can make me tilt. And I don't believe I'm exempt here. I don't believe that, you know, I'm different than you. We have to guard this mind. And we have to bring it by casting down every imagination and every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. In other words, take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, here's the thought I want to give you as I close here this morning, this afternoon. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God, this is the Amplified again, the soul harmony which comes from Christ rule, act as an umpire continually. Is that young man beside you, Shane, the ball player that's got a game today? What do the umpires do in baseball? Come on, be bold. They call strikes or balls. What's the other word they use? Out! That's one I like to hear, okay, when we had the ball, all right? When the other team had the ball, I didn't like to hear that one, all right? I was a catcher. I mean, I knew all about that stuff, all right? And what I want you to understand is I had great respect for those ushers, and sometimes I'd see them, and they had thick glasses on, and I was a little bit concerned, all right? So I tried to buddy up to them as a catcher, all right? I mean, you know, I would joke around. I would want them to like me, all right? Because why? Even before Christ, I knew that favor worked. Are you with me? In other words, if it was questionable, I wanted it to my benefit, my team's benefit, not the other team, all right? Well, I think that you and I have an umpire that's for you and not against you, all right? I believe you have great favor with the umpire of your life, and I'm talking about the great Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the comforter, the counselor, the instructor, the teacher, the one who will reveal truth to you each and every step of the way and bring to your remembrance whatsoever God has said to you. The one who comes alongside of us, and he's our helper. Can you say amen? So in knowing that, as you look at him, as your relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, in your practical life, that he is your umpire. So it says, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Does that make sense to you? I trust that the Word of God has blessed you today, has strengthened you. You and I are in a battle. I know you are, many of you individually. I know this church is in a battle. But I know the world is raging right now. And you and I are in an army. We have weapons. Amen. We have armor. And we have authority. And if we don't use what he's given us, it's our fault. Amen. I encourage you, use what God has given you. Use and wear what he's given you. Keep your mind guarded at all times. Keep those fiery darts down with that shield of faith. Don't receive what the devil's saying. Don't allow doubt and unbelief. Stay with the promise of God and stand in victory on the report of the Lord, not what the devil's up to. Can you shout amen in this house?